Shalom, Chaverim. In my last message, you will remember, we considered the vastness of the salt-waved ocean and the inadequacy of the bucket to contain it. Pour the unresting ocean into the bucket, and the staves of that insufficient little container would burst at the seams, and that receptacle would no longer conform to those laws and minhagim regulating the etiquette and social deportment of all respectable buckets. Yet something else is equally true of the ocean and the bucket. Although the tumultuous avalanche descending on the bucket would destroy completely the harmonious contours of the little vessel, nevertheless, it is true that as it was being swept away upon the swirling billows of watery vastness, it did, for a moment, contain a bit of the ocean, sufficient to give us an invaluable hint regarding the quality and essence of the purpling deep. We found these thoughts helpful when we turned our attention to the divine announcement with which the first book of the Hebrew Bible commences. We found that under the oceanic avalanche of this initial pronouncement, the staves of the bucket of grammatical precepts and regulations were reduced from harmony and contour to disruption and chaos. This pulverizing of the rules of grammar was both necessary and instructive, even though unexpected and astonishing, for it emphasized the unity of God, yet guarded him from being thought of in terms of singularity. Listen again into these amazing Hebrew words, Breshit bara Elohim. Those who know the Hebrew language will observe instantly the rupture of Hebrew grammar by the use of the singular verb bara with the plural noun Elohim. The English language, too, like the Hebrew, is unable to contain grammatically the content of this great declaration of deity. With strict literality, the opening words of Genesis can be translated as follows. Now listen carefully. In the beginning, gods created the heavens and the earth. Yes, the word gods is indeed in the plural, but your English translators have been wise to translate Elohim by the word God, because the rules of Hebrew grammar and the rules of English grammar are not the same, and the English language has no verb form to counteract a wrong idea of the plural noun. For the very same form of the English verb created is used whether the noun be God or gods. I mean that in English it is correct to say both God created or gods created. The same word, created, is used for either statement. Not so in Hebrew. If you use the plural word gods, then your verb should be also plural, just as if you had said createds. I hope I have made this clear, and that you have mustered patience to follow me, because I assure you, your endurance will be amply rewarded by the spiritual enlightenment to be derived. As the resistless waves of this ocean of divine revelation burst upon the shores of our willing consciousness, I invite you to consider some of the damaging, erroneous, and discordant human opinions that are mercifully drowned and swept away by this initial onrush. As I itemize some of these errors, I am sure you will be grateful I drew your attention to them, and you will also find the definitions interesting and helpful. Well, here we go. First, we see atheism, the idea that there is no God, swept away by the tide of this declaration, God is. God created. Second, you note that God created. This overwhelms the false doctrine known as pantheism, the idea that tends to identify God and nature, and thus deny the personality of the Godhead. Third, the deadening philosophical idea which regards matter and its motions as constituting the complete universe, even mind itself. A doctrine known as materialism is caught up and destroyed by the tornado of truth liberated in this divine disclosure that matter had a beginning. Fourth, the false doctrine that all events are subject to fate or inevitable predetermination, known as fatalism, is crested by these billows of announcement and hurled into distant horizons. Fifth, naturalism, a view of the world which takes account only of so-called natural elements and excludes the supernatural or spiritual, or which postulates the doctrine that all religious truth is derived from a study of natural processes and denies divine revelation. Naturalism also is wreck-strewn by the waves of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I imagine you didn't suspect that this was so interesting, did you? Well, let me give you a few more. The sixth feature. There is a fallacy that reason is, in itself, a sufficient source of knowledge independent of the senses. That human reason, unaided by divine revelation, is an adequate or sole guide to all attainable religious truth. This concept is known as rationalism, and it is challenged by the biblical pronouncement because the apprehension of revealed truth requires faith. Seventh, agnosticism, the doctrine which asserts the relativity and therefore the uncertainty and unknowability of all knowledge, reels back before the sweeping onrush of this divine assurance. Now let me give you three more precious truths released to us by these majestic opening words of Genesis. Three truths implicit from the grammatically discordant employment and juxtaposition of the singular verb with the plural noun in the Hebrew text. This will be our eighth point. Israel's long contact with ancient Persia threatened the Jewish people with the false religious ideas of Zoroastrianism, which included the concept of two rival gods. How enlightening to observe that although the Hebrew word for God, Elohim, is in the plural, yet it is not in the dual form. Hence, dualism is carried away on this flood of divine revelation. Unfortunately, some Persian dualism has crept into our Jewish theology, as witnessed in the dubious doctrine of the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa, the so-called good and evil inclinations in man. Now our ninth point. The pagan idea of many gods, known as polytheism, and the equally erroneous idea of three gods, known as tritheism, is swept away because, even though the noun Elohim, God, is undoubtedly and admittedly in the plural, yet the verb with which it is associated is in the singular. What a wonderful divine safeguard! Do you realize that if the verb had been bara'u instead of bara, we could have deified, as well as immortalized, our mutual friend Mickey Mouse. But as our great commentator Rashi observes, Elohim is a noun plural in form, and when it denotes God, it is followed by a verb in the singular. Now let us face bravely the implicates of our tenth and final point. Although the verb is in the singular, the noun is in the plural, and this feature, detectable throughout our Jewish scriptures, not only dislodges dualism, polytheism, and tritheism, but it also unseats the equally pagan concept of Unitarianism, the idea that God is an absolute singularity, like Jupiter is a singularity, or Neptune is a singularity. I have gone into this aspect rather more fully in my book, Out of the Clouds, and I can also recommend a book by Dr. David L. Cooper of Los Angeles entitled The God of Israel. God is not a singularity. He is a unity. And any system which degenerates our concept of deity down to a mere metaphysical, monotheistic abstraction is doing violence to the revelation of our Jewish holy scriptures. Well, my friends, to vary the figure of speech with which we commenced our message, what an ocean of error is evaporated by the fervent heat of divine scripture enlightenment. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yawair Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.